This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. So here's a commercial that's been on TV a lot over the past few years.
Well, I was shopping for a new car. Which one's me? A cool convertible or an SUV? Too bad I didn't know my credit was whack, because now I'm driving off the lot in a used subcompact FREE. That spells free. Creditreport.com, baby.
Okay, so it's an ad from Experian, one of the three big credit reporting agencies. And on the one hand, maybe it's a good thing, a catchy little jingle designed to encourage people to get to know their credit scores.
On the other hand, maybe it's not so good, because the ad demonstrates two things. First, according to a new survey from the Massachusetts Office of Consumer Affairs, no matter how catchy the jingle, only half of Massachusetts consumers say they review their credit reports once a year, and a third never do.
And second, it's an ad on TV. It's not a school lesson or a meeting with a financial advisor. And in fact, whether it be via television or word of mouth, parental guidance, or the internet, financial education overall is really patchy at best. And in the wake of the financial crisis and the recession, and as the nation evolves towards a new economy with individuals ever more responsible for managing every aspect of their financial well-being, maybe it's time we rethink financial literacy and don't leave it up to TV. Maybe it's time we make knowing something about money, say, part of the MCAS. So, the cost of not knowing much about money, that's what we're going to talk about today. And joining us to do that is the Undersecretary of the Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation, Barbara Anthony. Her office is the one that issued the recent Financial Awareness Survey Report, an examination of statewide financial literacy. Barbara Anthony, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, thanks for having me, Meghna. Great to be here.
Okay, it's really great to have you. And this was a fascinating survey. My big takeaway from it was that people in Massachusetts say they think they know a lot about money. They tried their best to keep a handle on their finances. But when you bore down into the details, it's not so clear what we know. So what's your top line sort of surprising finding from the survey?
Well, first of all, let me say that we in Massachusetts think we know a lot about everything. I think that's probably true.
sometimes we do.
Sometimes we don't. But, you know, I think that the general level of financial awareness was pretty good, but the gaps were significant. And I think, that significance is important. So one of the things that surprised me was this. 9 out of 10 people said that they manage carefully or very carefully their personal finances. Oh, so you think that's pretty good, 9 out of 10. Then we asked them how many people pull their credit report once a year. That came down to 1 out of 2. So you get 9 out of 10 saying we manage our personal finances very carefully, but yet only 1 out of 2 consumers pull the report.
And so, 34% say they never do.
And 34%, that's a third at least, saying that they never do. That's very disconcerting. But, so I had this conversation with some friends, very well-educated, savvy people, and they said, well, I never pull my credit report. What does that have to do with the way I manage my personal finances? Good question. It has the following. First of all, how do you know there aren't any mistakes on your credit report that may affect your credit score or your ability to borrow money from a lender, number one, or do other things? Number two, how do you know someone hasn't stolen your identity and is taking out credit in your name? The bill's not going to come to you because that's not how the thieves work. The bill's being sent somewhere else. So you don't know if there's a mistake that could hurt you. You don't know whether somebody has committed identity theft. You can't really have control over your personal finances unless you know those things.
Okay, so there's a gap there between what we think we know and what we should know.
That's right.
So you've also done some, you also asked people some questions about, say, financial products that are available to them, banking products, and that was trying to get at how much do we know about what's out there in terms of, how we can do basic banking. And what'd you find?
Exactly. Well, we've got Massachusetts, we've got some great banking laws here with respect to financial services products for low-income people, for young people, and for seniors. The 1865 law. If you're 65 or older, 18 or younger, you get one free checking and one free savings account at a Massachusetts state chartered bank. We found that I think it was only 52% of the people we surveyed knew that. So that means 48%, although, let's just say 50-50. So 1 out of 2 people in the state don't know that if they're 18 or younger or 65 or older, they can get a free checking and savings account from their community banks.
Does that make you think that a lot of people are using financial products that they're essentially overpaying for?
Oh, well, absolutely. If you could get a free checking account, and you're paying for a checking account, and it's not giving you things that you really, that they're giving you things maybe that you don't need, then you are overpaying for that product. The thing that tells me that people are doing is they don't know that this product is available for free. They also, you know, I'm assuming that the same would be true. We have something called basic banking products here in Massachusetts for low-income people. 91 banks have signed on to this service voluntarily. You get, for $36 a year, you get 8 checks a month and 15 withdrawals a month. A very good deal, particularly for low-income people. Now, we didn't ask that specific question here, but my bet is that if you get that kind of a response on the 1865 question, that people are similarly not informed about these basic banking services.
So I want to peel back sort of the different layers of the financial world that this survey reveals to us. But I also want to ask you a couple of your big picture takeaways. I mean, it seemed as if there was some correlation across the answers between, say, how much people, again, these are self-reported, right? So how much people say they knew or how proactive they were and income level.
That's correct. I think we found that generally higher income levels, higher educational levels, and also older folks in the survey seem to have a greater depth of knowledge in terms of their financial products and services. You know, I say sometimes with age goes wisdom. Maybe I say that because I won't mention that why. But at any rate, I think that's probably true. As you get older, you learn more. Obviously, you've had more experience. But the income piece, I think, is troubling. And the fact that maybe, you know, younger people across the board were not as well informed as they are should be.
So, but on the other hand, okay, it may make sense that with age and income, you get a higher correlation of people who say they think they know more about money and how and their financial picture. But the world of finance and finances is so complicated these days. I mean, is that basically a facile conclusion here? Like that is the truth that, quite frankly, we're not sure that anyone knows enough?
Well, all we know is how the data correlated. So, and I know you weren't accusing us of being facile, but that's how the data correlated. And I think that, you know, you may have more experience with more sophisticated financial products the higher your income. I mean, there may be reasons for that. But I think that generally, like I said, you know, the 9 out of 10 who say we manage our finances carefully or very carefully, yet 1 out of 2 never pull a credit report. And that was across all income groups. So I think that no matter your income group, no matter your educational level, there are gaps here that are troubling. You know, we see foreclosures, not to switch the subject completely, but we see foreclosures in the market across all income groups, mm-hmm. you know, and those products are complex. And we see them among all educational groups. I mean, you go to foreclosure events and you meet nurses and city councilors and accountants and people from all income strata. So I think, you know, you're correct, Magda. It's not relegated to any particular income group.
Well, in fact, I'm glad you did sort of switch the subject because in my mind, that is the subject, right? That finances touch everybody.
Right.
And so
right.
If we see people across income groups in Massachusetts, across professions, across ages, all basically at one point in time in their lives suffering from a lack of financial literacy, what's the first step that we ought to take as a state to kind of you know, remedy that?
Well, we are in my office, we've been doing a number of things. You know, one of the reasons we did this survey was to sort of pinpoint gaps that do occur and to target our resources in terms of education along with our partners. And you know, the Midas Collaborative is here for one, and we have other partners, the Attorney General's Office, the Federal Reserve Bank, the Better Business Bureau, to get together and to launch some campaigns here where these gaps are showing up. I mean, we already do things with college students. Project Credit Smarts is an effort that my office has started. And we have partners, some of the people I just mentioned, and I want to add that Mass Bankers Association is part of that effort as well. So it showed us where the gaps are. We're doing PSAs. Verizon actually is sponsoring a PSA on the 1865 law, mm-hmm. running through their Fios network. It's starting this month and next month. So we're taking a bunch of steps over the next course of the next year to target these areas that we see the deficiencies.
Mm. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute because let's call it personal skepticism about patchwork solutions might be kicking in here, and maybe there's a a bigger solution that we can talk about. But before I do that, I want to say that I am speaking with Barbara Anthony. She's the Undersecretary of the Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation. Her office did a recent survey on basically what we think we know about money in Massachusetts and our overall level of financial literacy. So listeners, we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Call in, and maybe the courageous amongst you might be willing to get a pop quiz, a question or two about what you think you know about your own financial literacy. But more importantly, I'd love to hear your stories. Do you think you're on top of your financial life? And have there been times in your life where you wish you knew more about money? Were there times where you thought, if I had only known, I wouldn't have gotten into fill in the blank trouble? And if that's the case, do you talk to your kids about money? Do you talk with a financial advisor? Do you talk with your spouse about it? How is it that we can, as a state, take steps forward to become more financially literate? Again, we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. I'd like to introduce two more people into the conversation, if I may. The first is Margaret Miley. She's executive director of the Midas Collaborative. It's a statewide nonprofit that does advocacy, training, and some coordination, I should say, around financial stability and financial education. Margaret Miley, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
Also with us is Thais DeMarco. She's program coordinator at the Somerville Community Cooperation. It's an organization that helps Somerville residents with community organizing, housing assistance, and financial education as well. Thais DeMarco, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me.
So it's a pleasure to have both of you. Let me begin with you, Margaret Miley. Do you think that this survey is, to your mind, an accurate representation of sort of how much people know or think they know about money?
I really do. It really is a reflection of what we're seeing in community groups across the state in all income levels. It is a really large problem in Massachusetts. And what's interesting is some of the recent research that we've been involved in indicates that 46% of Massachusetts residents have subprime credit scores,
which is a credit score below 700.
Correct.
And they don't know that?
Well, we didn't cross-reference for whether or not they were aware of it. But what is clearly indicated here is the fact that although people might be self-reporting that they're on top of their finances, the data shows otherwise.
And so as a member of the Midas Collaborative, this is sort of what you're thinking about, is how to get people more financially stable and literate. Do you think that, as Barbara Anthony was talking about, increased awareness is a part of it? I mean, it seems to me that by the time people are earning money or might be dealing with the questions of their 401k, it's a whole other world we're going to get into in a moment, it's almost, I don't want to say it's too late, but can't we start earlier in terms of financial literacy?
Absolutely. It seems to be a multifaceted need, and so we should have a multifaceted approach. And as Secretary Anthony is saying, there are a lot of us trying to coordinate around providing credible, non-vendor-specific information on finances for people at all parts of their lifespan.
So non-vendor-specific meaning it's not a product that someone's trying to sell you.
Exactly. So we want to have neutral information around out and available that is very consumer protective, and we're very realistic in terms of understanding that people reach out for information at the particular time that they need it. So there's not a mother of a two-year-old who's doing as much looking at college options as the mother of the 15-year-old, for example. And people aren't thinking about their 401ks when they're 12 years old either. So we're really trying to correlate the information and the services with the lifespan of the people as they're moving through their lives.
Thais DeMarco, let me ask you, you're actually working with people directly at Somerville Community Cooperation. When they come to you, what are the kind of questions that they ask? Are you surprised or not surprised by how much they may not know when they first come in to your organization?
I've been doing this for almost 6 years now, so I'm not surprised anymore. I think one of the key things about financial education is that, and this sounds silly when I say it, but it's so true, people don't know what they don't know. And so when you ask people, are you doing everything you can for your finances, often they will say, yes, of course I am, because they don't really know what the steps are that they need to be taking. So people come to us with all kinds of questions. They come to us with, issues with credit. They come to us when they're trying to buy a home and they need to deal with credit. There are several different things that they come to ask.
And so how do you, I mean, what are the first steps that you take to sort of walk people through things and get them to a place of greater financial literacy?
We have a comprehensive intake that we do with everybody to try to assess their situation overall and what kinds of needs they have. And then based on that intake, we direct them to one of our classes, maybe our one-on-one counseling. We do offer financial literacy classes that are actually really comprehensive. It's 6 weeks, 18 hours total. So we spend a lot of time with folks talking about it.
And, you know, Margaret Miley was saying that you don't often, say, get a mother of a two-year-old who's coming in, maybe unless she's thinking about applying for a mortgage. You know, it just seems that people's interest and desire to know about their financial, personal financial well-being sort of peaks around these big moments in life. Is that what you're seeing, that it's need that really drives us rather than an overall sense as to, hey, maybe I need to, for the rest of my life, be on top of my financial picture?
Financial education isn't it doesn't seem like the most exciting thing you could do on, say, a Monday night, although I would disagree. our classes are very exciting. So I think that's why we see people coming to us in crisis mostly, although we've done a lot of work at the Somerville Community Corporation to make sure that people hear about the service before they get to a point of crisis so that they know that it's there.
Well, we've got a lot of people who want to join us in this conversation. Again, we're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're talking about financial literacy in Massachusetts and maybe rethinking what we think we know about money. Megan's calling from Hull. And Megan, before we hear what you have to say, are you willing to endure a little pop quiz about your own financial literacy?
Sure. Hi, Megna.
Hi there, Megan. Okay, so this is one of the questions, or this is a modification of one of the questions that this survey that we're talking about had. Okay, so here it is. Pop quiz. Say there's a fraudulent charge made to your debit card. How long do you have before you're liable for at least part of that charge? How many days do you have before you have to tell the bank, I didn't make that charge?
To tell you the truth, I don't know, but I'm going to guess 4 days.
Pretty close. It depends. So apparently, if you report that within 2 days of receiving your statement, you may be liable for, say, up to $50. And Barbara Anthony, correct me if I'm wrong here. And if you wait up to 60 days, you'd be liable for $500. And after 60 days, you may be liable for the entire charge. So that's something I didn't know, that there were steps to that. But Megan, so you, thank you for being courageous on that front. Okay. What's your comment today?
Well, I just wanted to agree with you about the education of financial information. I'm a 28-year-old working speech pathologist in a school, and I've noticed throughout my life that there's a lot of times where I have no idea what people are talking about when it's talking about my finances, and I feel very frustrated that I can't get the right information. And I know a lot of what people learn is based off of their parents' experiences. And unfortunately, my dad loves to talk financial, but not at my level of financial. So I just wanted to make it apparent that, you know, education is really important, and possibly even in the high schools, because how are some of these kids going to learn how to take care of themselves?
Megan, thank you so much for your call, because this leads me to sort of the big what do we do question. According to the Council for Economic Education, across the United States, only 14 states require that high schoolers take some sort of personal finance class in order to graduate. It's a high school graduation requirement, but only in 14 states. Massachusetts is not one of them. Barbara Anthony, I mean, it seems like this is an area that could be easily changed.
Well, I mean, it can be changed or not, obviously. I think the issue here in terms of, you know, these kinds of subjects in schools obviously has to be balanced with all the other requirements that educators balance when they develop curricula. And I don't think that, I mean, I can't say, I'm not an educator, so I don't know the extent of mandatory requirements that prepare kids for college or a professional school or whatever it may be. That may vary from state to state also.
I take your point about you not being an educator, so I'm not going to hold you to task to represent the educational sector here in Massachusetts. But to my mind, it seems that there couldn't be anything more relevant in terms of what people need to know than how to manage their finances. There are some efforts on this front, Margaret Miley, are there not?
Absolutely. A group of nonprofits, governmental agencies, and financial institutions and other corporations got together to form what was called the Massachusetts Financial Education Collaborative in the last couple of years. A lot of folks are involved in it. One thing we've really been pushing is this idea of universal access to financial education in the K-12 system. We've been through a couple legislative sessions, and just about 2 weeks ago, the governor signed a bill to pilot this work in the state in 10 public high schools across the state. There's a small amount of money, $250,000, a competitive grant process in the gateway cities. And the idea is to test it with the hopes of providing more universal access in years to come.
I want to take a couple more calls because we have a lot of people who want to join us. Isabel is calling from Wayland. You're on the air, Isabel.
Hello. I just wanted to say this is an important program, and I agree that people need to check their credit reports. I was stunned to find that they made 64 errors on my credit report, and I only found out about it when my credit card company called and said they were lowering the amount that I could charge, and I had always paid every bill I got with no interest. I never had any interest, and I was shocked.
Wow.
And it took a long time to get it straightened out. But anyway, thank goodness no one stole my identity, and I do think it's a very good idea to have at least have financial literacy offered in the schools.
Isabel, I'm really glad for your call, but let me ask you a quick question. Would you be willing to endure a little pop quiz also about financial literacy? Because you said something that's on that caught my eye out of this survey.
I'd be happy to,
okay.
But I must admit I'm not very literate.
That's quite all right. You can take a guess here, but this is about data breaches. What percentage of Massachusetts residents do you think have been affected by a data breach since 2007 of their personal information?
I would say maybe 30%.
Pretty close. It's almost half, isn't it, Barbara
Anthony?
That's
right. We actually did data breaches. Companies that encounter data breaches have to report them to my office and the Attorney General's office. And we did a survey of the past 4 years of those reports, and it was 3.1 million. Now, there's some people who were affected. There's some overlap there. Some people may have been hit twice, but I think our caller isn't too far off the mark. A third, to 50%, I'm sure it's right in there.
Isabel, thank you so much for your call. Let's get another one in here. Candace is calling from Arlington. You're on the air, Candace.
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking my call. Yes, this is something very passionate for me because I've been very upset ever since they passed the MCAS, the requirement to graduate. Mm-hmm. You have to pass MCAS. And I think kids should be required to, they shouldn't graduate without knowing how to balance a checkbook and some useful information. Calculus is not necessarily going to help them, but this is really, really important. They should have much more everyday financial information. Myself, I got both my daughters, when they were 14, they got their own checking accounts at the local bank, the neighborhood bank, and then I made them use Quicken to balance their checkbook. And every month, I'd hear them cursing and saying, oh, I'm never going to buy another stupid outfit. They realize how much they throw money away on stupid stuff that they don't need.
Candace, your daughters are lucky to have you. Thank you so much for your call. Barbara Anthony, we just got about a minute to go, but I do have to ask you, you are part of the Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation. We've been talking about individual responsibility and trying to teach people how to manage their own finances better. But I do wonder, the products themselves are getting so much more complicated every single year. Is there not room for, in this financial literacy conversation, to get businesses to, quite frankly, simplify what they're offering people?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a two-way street. Businesses have to do their job in terms of more compact, fairer, clearer disclosures. And, you know, the Consumer Finance Protection Agency in D.C., we haven't mentioned them at all during this conversation, but they are doing a terrific job in this area already in terms of student loans, in terms of our own lending products, you know, requiring simplified disclosures. So, yes, there is room for business to do this voluntarily in conjunction with government and for government to actually impose some of these requirements. I have to say one last thing, though.
Just got a couple seconds, but you can
it's not freeannualcreditreport.com. Don't go to those folks. They will charge you money. Go to annualcreditreport.com, annualcreditreport.com.
Amen.
For a free credit report. Forget that jingle.
Actually, I'm glad I'm glad you did that, because that was going to be my last thought. But annualcreditreport.com.
It is the only government, federal government authorized free credit report website. Forget all the others.
Barbara Anthony is the Undersecretary of the Office of Consumer Affairs and Business Regulation. Always great to have you, Barbara Anthony. And Margaret Miley, Executive Director of the Midas Collaborative, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And Thais DeMarco, Program Coordinator at Somerville Community Corporation, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Listeners, keep this conversation going. Tell us your financial literacy stories at RadioBoston.org. And stick with us, because coming up next, sound artist Christopher Janney inspires a dancer to move to the sound of her own heartbeat. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.